Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
Father, we have just been in the river of worship. Our hearts have overflowed because of what you've put into our hearts right back to you. And then we have received such invitations to come alongside of you and be partners with you in the work, because that's why we do that, what we do. That's why we hear sermons, we get teachings. It's to be your disciples and then go into all the world to disciple others. I pray now, Father, that you would help every ear to receive what you would have them to receive, whether it was during our time of worship or the announcements or the missions announcement, Father. You will help us to receive what we need to receive today. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, wonderful family, Chris and I were away with a lot of Foursquare people at Niagara. And we were really, really looking forward to being in our hotel room with a lovely view of the falls. But our view was even more spectacular and interesting, because we could see the parking lot, the parking garage, and we could hear people talking. We'd never experienced that before. But kind friends said, oh, Chris and Chris come and look at the view. So we did. And we wanted, that got us more excited to be being in Niagara. And then other friends said, did you see the post so-and-so did on Facebook about the view from the falls? And so we experienced Niagara, the falls, very many different ways when we were in the hotel room. But it wasn't enough for us. We had that longing to see the falls. So we took 3 walks a day when time permitted, just to walk on the promenade. But that wasn't enough. Opportunities were given to us, one to be on the boat and to get as close to the falls as possible. And then another opportunity was to walk behind the falls. Well, it was spectacular. And for myself, I'm kind of a either all in or not kind of gal. So I couldn't go on the boat. But I could go behind the falls, and I got as close to the waters as I could, and I didn't care if my face got wet, if my hair got wet, because I wanted to be in the falls. And so it was so powerful and so awe-inspiring, and I could just remember when we had gone there prior, it was such a hot day, and the air around the falls is so saturated with moisture that it's so cooling and refreshing. The falls were magnificent, but looking at them on a little picture on your phone, or even a magnificent view through the window, wasn't the being in the falls or with the falls. It didn't satisfy. We had this longing again and again and again to be there. And this analogy is very inadequate when we talk about spiritual things, but it's as close as I could come to be flowing in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to have that refreshing, to be so immersed in it that you're not satisfied with just a glimpse on an iPhone or someone else's view. You want that for yourself. And in preparation to this day, because it's Pentecost Sunday, I've been reading a book by a pastor who's now in glory called Jack Hayford. And the book is called The Spirit-Empowered Life. And we don't often recommend books because we don't always want to endorse every book. But I think Pastor Jack Hayford's book and his ministry is one that you can trust. And he says this in the book: nothing in the believer's life is more essential to his or her becoming a daily, fully empowered replication and representative of Jesus Christ than being in and being keeping filled with the Holy Spirit. And when we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us, you know, we open ourselves completely to all of his fullness. He will saturate us if we allow him when we draw near and we open ourselves fully to be filled. The Holy Spirit is the perfect discipler. You will have fantastic preachers. I don't count myself among those, but we've been in the presence of those and teachers and seminars, but no one is better at equipping us than the Holy Spirit, and we need him. In John 7, on the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, we're going to read Jesus saying, he stood up and he cried out. He didn't whisper this. He cried out with such passion in his heart, I'm sure. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. He spoke this of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. With this proclamation, Jesus was making a prophetic forecast for us and all the believers that would come after he was back with his Father. He was describing a wonderful way of life for us today that we could live in, being infilled and walk out the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was telling us of a lifestyle that was so filled with the Spirit's day-to-day fullness and that just overflows in our lives. Notice that Jesus, and I had not seen this, declared the use of the word rivers. What could some of those be? Well, it is worship, could be prayer. Today we're going to discuss the ministry of fruitfulness and the ministry of the gifts that the Lord Jesus gives us through his Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit wants to give us more and more of the Father's goodness and blessing. But we have to make ourselves available daily. Sometimes I've noticed in my life, it's kind of hourly for renewal and freshness. And then we become avenues through whom all these rivers will flow. This morning, during worship, I was reminded of a day last week when the weather was nicer and I was in the house working and I could hear the birds and I thought, oh, they sound nice. And I had my window open a little bit and once in a while there was this fragrance of the May trees. And I thought, why am I in the house? And I went for a long walk and I didn't want to come home because the air was so filled with the sound of life. Birds singing, children laughing, the fragrance. And I thought, that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do with us, that wherever we go, and I wish I could walk around to look at your faces because I know you. We will long for that, that wherever our steps go, we can be so filled with these rivers flowing out of us. And this is essential to our Christian living. We don't just want to be nice boys and girls who love Jesus and who sing Jesus loves me, but we want to bring the life of Jesus everywhere we walk. That's the why. And when we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us, we receive gifts. 1 Corinthians 12 says this: a spiritual gift is given to each of us, so, why? We can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. I know some people like that. I look at Esther, and I look at Ruth, and I think, they give me wise advice, and I thank them for it. The same Spirit gives faith to another, and to someone else, the Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, and another the ability to prophesy. And you know what? I could stop and look at each one that I know and say, I think you operate in that gift. I've seen you do that. Still, another person is given the ability to speak in an unknown language, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. Isn't it good for someone to interpret something to you? Have you been in a conversation where you know one person is trying to tell someone else something and you think they're not getting it, and you can help that person? So the Holy Spirit does that for us. And is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. And I just love that so much, because you know what? I was given a gift of a bicycle once, but I could never handle it. I could never learn how to ride it. And it's so good that when you get a gift, now I know how to use a perfume bottle. So when my husband gives me that, I think, that's the gift I love. But there are some gifts we long for, you know what, that we might not be equipped to do. Or the Lord might say, you know what, I have this gift for you. Take the gift the Lord gives you. We are given wisdom, miracles, special gifts of faith, and operating in the prophetic. And these plural rivers will be ours as we open ourselves to receive these gifts. And the purpose is not to have a saturated life ourselves, but to be so filled that these rivers will flow from us naturally. These ministry rivers will flow from Spirit believers to people who are in torment of pain or who need divine grace. Could be at the cash register. You're paying for your groceries, and the gift of wisdom tells you, be kind to the cashier. They're fumbling, they're not getting things right, but the Holy Spirit is telling you, this person needs grace. And in that moment, you could be the kindest, most uplifting shopper that they've ever seen. And if the Holy Spirit tells you, you can say, I'm going to pray for you today, or just say, how are you doing? That's the reason we are receiving these gifts. And then there's the ministry and sign gifts in Mark 16, verses 17 to 18. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They speak with new tongues, and they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. I always wonder about living a life like Jesus did. When our daily life can affect change in the life of others just by being continually filled with the Holy Spirit, others will be drawn to the river of life that leads to Jesus because it flows continually and naturally from us to others. We don't have to be funny when we minister to people. It should be so natural that people can receive it. We don't have to get all crazy Pentecostal and go, oh, Jesus, bless this person. we can just be us, because it's not our articulateness, it is the life of the Spirit flowing in us. Who might walk into your office this week? Someone who's just received a diagnosis? Someone whose marriage is in trouble? Someone who's facing a financial crisis? Jesus longs for us to walk in the resource of the Holy Spirit's power. And so we, the church, are the people of God who can continue doing what he did. That's what he did daily in his walk. Out of that will flow rivers of fruitfulness. Wherever the river flows, we read in Ezekiel, there will be swarms of living creatures and a great number of fish, because it flows there and makes the waters fresh. So wherever the river flows, everything will flourish. If you're a fisherman, you will avoid stagnant pools of water, because if there is a little fishy that survived, you certainly can't eat it, because it's probably full of toxins. And just barely, his little body is, or her little body is just making itself survive. Stagnant pools of water do not have life in them, because they don't attract life. And we want that fresh filling. You know, in our country and around the world, there's a new legislation coming for our speech. And so many restrictions are being put on. But you know what? There's never gonna be a human law against the beauty of God's grace and people. Because the Holy Spirit will temper what we say and how we say it. We can be speaking truth to someone, but it's how we say it. We talk in Sunday school about teaching the little kids, and instead of saying, "Don't run. I told you not to run." You know what we say? Remember? We're in church. And look, there's so many people around. We walk church. It's the same message, but it's told in a different tone and language. Little children are attracted by that. The minute you say, "Don't do that," that's the truth. We don't want them to do that. But how we speak to one another is so very, very important. When we open the floodgates of the Holy Spirit flowing in our lives, there's going to be fruit in our conduct and character. Have the closest people around you seen a growth in conduct and character? You know, it's the hardest, I think, to do at home with our family, with our extended family, because we think, "Oh, I know what that person is like. If I say that, they're just going to respond this way." But we want to attract people to Jesus, and we can't do it with being grumpy, short with each other. Last week, our neighbors are such dear, sweet people. And Chris and I never think we're old, because we have neighbors that are older than us by 20-some years. But their life changed drastically when our neighbor received a diagnosis of some kind of Parkinson's that is very degenerative, and there are no medical helps. And we looked at her empty flower box, and we thought, you know, how could we be Jesus to her? Well, let's plant some bright red geraniums, because she is legally blind. But that little act, so I did the shopping. I want you to know Chris did all the work. I have these ideas, and Chris then has to execute them. But that's team, right? We did it together. But that little act gave her the freedom to knock on our door yesterday to say to Chris, you know, my lawnmower's battery is dead. Could you help me? So Chris was able to help even more because of this simple, tiny little act of kindness. But it helped her think that maybe she could knock on our door for help. The Holy Spirit is so practical when he helps us help other people. This is what the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is: love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Oh, I need more of that fruit. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. You know, there is a commandment in the Bible in Deuteronomy, which I find so helpful to me. It talks about the word of God, and it says, tie the word of God on your hands and wear them on your foreheads as reminders. And a couple of months ago, when I spoke about making our home holy ground, it was really helpful for me to take off my shoes every time I enter my home. And I remember that. Take off your shoes, holy ground. And so on our kitchen table is a beautiful big wooden bowl, and I love to keep that full of fruit. And once in a while, the fruit gets rotten and you have to clean it out. It's such a good visual for me. But I want to say to us, when you think of the fruit of the Spirit being in your life, we want to be that for our neighbors. But could this fruit be on your family table and be enjoyed by your family first? Could your spouse and your children be the first to taste the fruit of faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, love, joy, peace? And that applies to children and young people, to allowing their parents to taste that same fruit. Because sometimes you might see your mom and dad coming home from work and they are tired. And you want to say, I'm starving, Mom, where's supper? But instead, you could offer them that fruit and just be kind and helpful. I need those tangible reminders all the time. And I'm so thankful that God's word helps us to do that. So if you have a fruit bowl on your table, or if you don't, maybe buy one and put some fruit in and see what happens when the fruit isn't, first of all, used. It rots. We don't want that. And share it with your family and friends. We sing this song, The Goodness of God. Jesus, Jesus, you're sweeter than honey. You're the beautiful one. Jesus, Jesus, you're sweeter than honey. You're the beautiful one. It's like the Psalms that says, how sweet your words taste to me. They're sweeter than honey. But what if we sing that song and don't have our lips be kind, be sweet, be gentle? It's hard to do that at home. It's easier to do it on the evangelistic field. But the thing is, we can't do it in and of ourselves. That's why we need the Holy Spirit's fullness. God knows He made us out of dust and clay, but He will empower us as we get filled daily. You can't believe the many times I had to go and apologize to Mr. Chris this week as I'm preparing this sermon. I'm thinking, fruit ball, fruit ball. You know, it happens to us. We're people. But God does not ask us to do something without giving us His resources, because we can't do it in and of ourselves. So if you're hearing this and you're feeling, oh, I failed, I'm a failure, that's not what I want you to hear. I want you to hear you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. We need the Holy Spirit to empower us, but we have to receive Him. I want you to see how the Holy Spirit falls on us. And that's something else I learned while reading this book. Think about the story that Jesus tells in Luke 15 about the prodigal son. There's a word there, and I hope I say it correctly. If not, after the service, talk to Brian. I'm sure he will be able to have you say it correctly. It's epipipto, and it means to fall upon. And that word is used in Luke 15 and also in Acts 8:16, where it says, "For as yet the Holy Spirit had fallen upon none of them." When you think about the story of the Father falling upon the Son, hugging Him with such love and acceptance, that's how the Holy Spirit wants to fall on us, and that's how He falls on us. That same measure of great love and acceptance and restoration. When we are caught up in the fullness of God's love for us, that's the way the Holy Spirit falls upon us every day. And His great love will overflow to others as we touch them in His name. You know what? The Son, after initially saying, "Oh, forgive me, I'm not worthy," He did receive. He received His Father's embrace, and He received the gifts that the Father gave Him. We have to receive the Holy Spirit. Think about this moment now in Acts. On that day of Pentecost, that's here, we are here, on that day of Pentecost, all believers were meeting together in one place. You're in your homes, we're gathered here. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. They laid hands on them and received the Holy Spirit in Acts 8:17. The Greek word there, receive, conveys both the ideas of giving and receiving. When we are open to the Holy Spirit, we allow His power and grace and glory to fill us inside and out. We come for a refueling, a fresh flow from the river of heaven. I said it earlier about not being satisfied just being nice people. We must long to fully immerse ourselves in the resources of the Holy Spirit. Why? Again, it's, yes, the Holy Spirit wants to bless us and does, but it's because He longs for us to continue His work so that the person maybe sitting beside you this morning can receive love and grace from you when you go out to the coffee shop, or if you're having lunch, the waitress might be having a really bad day. You are Jesus right there. We're going to say a prayer to receive a fresh filling from the Holy Spirit. And I would ask the worship team to come up, please. The word filled, when they were filled, is equivalent to the idea of flooding the place and all believers. It's like being in such a moisture-rich air that you are refreshed and encouraged. And we are gathered here on this day of Pentecost. And whether you're young or old or in between, we're the in-betweeners, we think. Some of you young ones might think, oh, now you're old. But we each need a refreshing of the Holy Spirit. And I want us to be like the people who were sitting, the disciples sitting and waiting in the upper room. Jesus longs for us, for us. And I would ask you, if you're able to stand and open your hands while I say this prayer to receive a fresh filling from the Holy Spirit. And we can wait a moment while the team prepares and starts singing or playing. Because it's okay to have a moment of silence before the Lord and to ask Him, what river isn't flowing freely from my life? Is it the river of worship I'm stopping? Maybe I've stopped the river of prayer. Is it the fruit of the Spirit? Maybe there's one little tributary that I'm having trouble with. But allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. He is the best discipler. And He's not going to be harsh with you because He wants to equip you. He wants you to be Jesus in this world. Let's pray. Holy Father, I open my heart and hands to say, fill me afresh today and daily as I walk in your presence. I acknowledge my need, and I need you, Holy Spirit, to replicate Jesus in me. Jesus, I want to be the person you want me to be. A person so filled with the Holy Spirit that your power in me is released to people everywhere I am. Because you are in me to overflowing. Because your Spirit is leading me to others by your power and for your glory alone. I open my life and my heart to you now. Fill me afresh that I might be a witness to others of your love, forgiveness, power, and might. Father, I thank you for the life, for the gift that Jesus gave us of the Holy Spirit. I thank you that we have such fullness in you, that you withhold nothing from us to do the ministry that you have called us to do. I pray that we would do this with joy, not any sense of guilt, but that anything that might hinder us would just wash away now as the Holy Spirit flows in us to cleanse us and fill us. In Jesus' name I pray. Now for those, you may be seated. We're going to say another prayer. If you would like to welcome Jesus in your life today, or make this the day where you rededicate your life, where you come back to that river of life and firmly plant your feet. You know, there's a verse in Isaiah that promises you joy as refreshing as spring water can bring to a natural thirst. Everyone has been separated from God because of sin, but Jesus paid the penalty for our sin by dying on the cross and raising to life again. And He now offers you that new life. The world will make light of sin and can use negative ideas to stop us from admitting that we are all sinners. But you know what? Jesus did not make the way back to the Father complicated for us. And He didn't make us question a loving God. It cost Him His life. You know what it only cost us? A contrite heart and acknowledgement of His sacrifice for us. This is true because the Bible tells us so. John 3:16 said, "For God so loved the world, if you know it, say it, that He gave us His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Accepting the gift of salvation is like this. In Isaiah 12, verse 3, you read, "With joy you will draw water from the springs of salvation. After godly sorrow for our wrongdoing will come the joy that forgiveness will bring. You will be filled with the Holy Spirit, who will help you on your daily journey with Jesus, growing in faith." There will be a prayer behind me, and you can say it with me. And if you just have this tiny little thing in your head that says, is that Jesus calling me? Yes, it is. Or if that inner voice is telling you, you know, it's been a long time since you bend the knee and say this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you would pay the penalty for my sin by dying on the cross in my place. I believe you rose to life again and now offer me a new life with you. I ask you to forgive me for my sin and cleanse me from the inside out. I invite you into every area of my life as both my Lord and my Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to live for you all the days of my life. Thank you for forgiving me and thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.